Philippians chapter 3. We finished up last week around verse 11. And Paul said that there were some things, four things, that he was endeavoring to know and experience. All right? You can turn off the monitors up here. Philippians 3:10. He says, that I might know him, that's Jesus, and that I might experience the power of his resurrection. Another translation said, experience the power. The fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. All right, so there were these things that Paul had said, I'm leaving behind my Jewish CV. All of my accomplishments that I had done as a 5-star Jewish man. And I'm also leaving behind the bragging about my family heritage and that my family had raised me in a certain way. You can just completely turn off the monitors. That'd be great. But let's pick up here in verse 12. Verse 12. And we're going to read all the way to verse 21 today. Verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. I need the lights, whatever you just did. Yes, that's better. Thank you. Any of our mature, have this mind, and anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example. And note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. All right, so let's see what Paul is. It's really a continuation of the first part of chapter 3 of things that he's leaving and that he is now embracing. Okay, verse 12. He makes this statement that I have not yet arrived or attained. He says, I'm not already perfected. Okay? So the things that he is doing and the things that Paul is heading towards, basically Paul says, I have not yet arrived. I'm not a finished product. Now, how many of you would agree if Paul says, I haven't arrived, would you agree that we should probably agree with him? That you and I haven't arrived? Okay. And meaning that there's still something ahead of us. And this is a really important part of this passage about what Paul is talking about that is still in his future. Okay. New Living Translation says it this way. I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Okay, now you may know, and we've mentioned this, that when we hear the word perfection in the New Testament, many, many times that word is, it's a derivation of a couple, Greek word teleos or teleo, and it means to have reached a full stature. It means that, in a sense, the journey is now finished. If you think about we dedicated babies and they are non-teleo. All right? They are not at their full developmental stage in their body. Okay? And so many of us in this room, physically, we've reached that. All right? We're not going to grow higher. Okay? We will grow. There will be other changes. Okay? But it's not to become more mature in our physical bodies. And there's a time where it stops, right? Okay. So Paul says, I'm still reaching for that perfection, that full maturity of my spiritual life for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. All right. And we're going to see this. It seems like Jesus had something in mind when we got saved, when we became Christians. Now, again, what part of the Christian life that's very interesting is that as we read the Bible, as we read the plan of God for us, we discover things that God has for us that we didn't necessarily realize when we were born again, when we were saved. Some of us, maybe you were raised in a Christian home and you were a little kid and maybe you just kind of think, I have always known Jesus as far as I can remember. Some of you were born again and your conversion came out of a dark time of your life and there was despair and you realized, I need a Savior. Maybe some of you realized that there's a heaven and a hell and you wanted to make sure that heaven was going to be your home. All right. So when we get saved, we don't know the whole package. We don't know the whole plan of God. But when God saved us, He planned for us to grow up. He planned for us to reach this perfection, this stage of maturity. All right? Now, you and I really, really live in an age where, especially, it's kind of weird for adults that the culture of our age really is, don't grow up. Okay? So ladies, if you're 58, we've got procedures and stuff, and you can look like a 22-year-old. Kind of. Yeah. I'm not sure who said amen. I'm not sure you were supposed to say amen. All right. So, and it's especially among men, all right, is that, you know, boys will be boys. Well, no, boys will be boys, but men will be men. Like the commercial we saw for the men's lock-in, the boys' lock-in, right? That was Will Smith, right? Did you catch the subliminal message? Put in your tie, take off the earring. That's what he did. I'm just saying. Okay. All right. So there's this, but the world that we live in, my goodness, it's all about thinking young and being young and acting young. But part of that is foolish. All right. People who are young haven't lived enough life to be smart. Okay. All right. So let's look at this. There's another passage. This, because Paul says, I'm going to reach the maturity or the perfection that God had in mind when He first laid hold of me. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom He foreknew. Okay, so Romans 8, all right. Whom is us? The people of God. He is God. All right, so God foreknew us, all right? He also predestined us to be conformed to the image of Christ, all right? So God, in a sense, so He had us in mind, and there was a predetermined destination. What was it? The predetermined destination for God when we came into His family was be conformed to the image of His Son. To be conformed to the image of His Son. that we might be the that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. New Living Translation says he chose them to become like his son. Okay, think about it this way: that if you ever got on a bus or in a vehicle with someone else, how many of you know the destination of that vehicle is predetermined by someone other than you? Right? Okay, so you got on it, you got on the airplane, and you know, they get on and say, you know, welcome to flight 502. We're going to be landing in Cape Town or Nairobi. That would be the time you get off if you're thinking you're supposed to go to Dar es Salaam. Right? So when we were born again, God had a predetermined destination for us called conformed to the image of his son. All right, so that means God has a plan and a purpose and an agenda to get us there. Now, looking at your life, looking at the lives of other Christians, and we're going to see this from Paul, is that God's predetermined agenda means that we also have a part to play. All right? And so Paul made these statements. He said, I may lay hold. He said, I may to apprehend, forgetting, reaching forward, I press toward. All right? It's all talking about the same destination. All right? So we're not born again, and then we just kind of sit at church, and all of a sudden we just wake up one day, and we're conformed to the image of Jesus. All right? Have you discovered in your own life that while that's God's destination, and the Holy Spirit is working in you, we saw that working in, right? To giving you the grace that we can cooperate with God's work to mature us, and we can also frustrate his work to mature us. Amen. All right. So, Paul says, I'm pressing on. Let me read this to you from the Message Bible, Romans 8, 29 and 30. I think this is appropriate. The man who wrote the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson, it's a paraphrase, but he passed away just a few days ago. And boy, I tell you what, I'm sure he's enjoying all of heaven that he wrote so eloquently about. Romans 8, 29. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. What's our goal in life? What's the end result? It's Jesus. Amen? After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then, after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. New Living Translation in Philippians, Paul says, I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. So, Paul, the Holy Spirit, is asking us this morning, make God's destination your destination. We are just a few months away from 2019, and many, it's kind of a tradition. What are our goals? What are our aspirations? I'm going to start this and I'm going to stop that. All of the gyms are packed in January and February. You can go there now and just, there's not as many people as January, right? So, and I think it's certainly if it's a good result, then have a good target, sure. All right. But I wonder how many of us in 2019 would have at the top of the list, be more like Jesus. reach full maturity in 2019. Stop being a jerk to people who love me. Yeah. Because, see, here's the thing. That is at the top of God's list for your life. All right? Now, he may or may not have a problem with the rest of your list for 2019. Right? Live long enough and prosper so my ex can see my success. Well, that's not on God's list. That came from another place other than heaven. So just cross that one off. Okay? So, yeah, finish my house. The Bible talks about houses. That's not a bad thing. All right? Finish my degree. God wants you to do your potential, do his will. If it includes a degree, go for it. But how many of us, again, I want to stop being immature. I want to do whatever it takes. I want to press forward with Paul for the perfection that Jesus laid hold of me. So, God wants his agenda to be our agenda. Kenneth Hagin put it this way about other parts of our life. Instead of coming up with a plan that we write, you know, and we concoct it, and then we say, God bless my plan. Rather, get a plan that comes from heaven because it's inherently blessed. All right? So, we want what God wants. And what God wants is for us to reach this maturity. Verse 13, and he says things very similarly for a few verses here. Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forget those things which are behind and reach forward to the things which are ahead. Now, when Paul the Apostle says, I make sure that I do one thing, I think that's significant. Because when you read the New Testament, would you say that Paul only did one thing? No, he did a lot of things. He wrote the Bible. He endured persecution. He was a mentor. He was an apostle. All right? He was had an incredible mind. He allowed God to flow through his life to miracles and signs and wonders. There was a lot of activities that Paul did, but he said there's one thing above all those things that I make as my priority. All right. So if Paul's got one thing, man, I want to know, what is Paul? What's your one thing? Okay. It is forgetting those things which are behind, reaching for the things which are ahead. Now, please note that Paul said there's one thing I do. He didn't say there's one thing I write about. There's not one thing I sing about or meditate or ponder or talk. How many know there's a big difference between talking and doing? All right, so he says, no, there's one thing I make sure that I do. And then there's two verbs that he does. I forget and I reach. So the things that are behind, I forget. The things that are ahead, I reach for. Now, the English Standard Version, I think, puts it with a little more clarity. It talks about, I forget what lies behind, and I reach for what lies ahead. So, in our past are some victories. There are some testimonies. There are memorials to God's faithfulness. In our past are regrets and hurts and either wounds that are still hurting or scars that are also a testimony to God's grace. And so there's things in our past. And so Paul says, I can't live in the past. I have to reach forward for what lies ahead. Have you ever met somebody and all they can talk about is the past? Whether it's the good old days or the bad old days, or the victories or the defeats. One of my favorite songs growing up, I still really love it, Bruce Springsteen. Yes. confessional. I'm a pastor. I listen to Bruce Springsteen. Okay, I don't agree with all of his philosophy, but he got this incredible song about glory days, about people that went to secondary school and they meet each other, and all they can talk about is glory days. It's not a wonderful song, but it is a very poignant song. And so, but what Paul is saying is, whether it's bad, and Paul recognized in chapter 3, there was bad in his past. There was also good in his past. He says, but all the glory isn't in the past. I'm reaching forward for what lies ahead. Okay. And we have an interesting thing that we do is academics, people call it that we romanticize history. Okay. So when I was a kid and, you know, and I was in primary school and I learned American history and, oh, wow, it's really amazing. And now I'm 50 and I'm like, it wasn't all amazing. There was like huge sin and wickedness and injustice. They forgot to tell me that in grade 2. Yeah, because we kind of like to whitewash it and scrub it and cleanse it. It's called revisionist history, okay? So, but there is a life that God has for you, and it is ahead of you. It's ahead of you. And so one of the reasons why God can say, I want you to look ahead. I want you to reach forward is because he's a healer. So the broken stuff from the past, it can be fixed. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Well, how did your heart get broken? When did it get broken? In the past. All right. He redeems what was lost or stolen or broken. He's a redeemer. He's a fixer. It's not just move on and live with our wounds or our handicap. No, he helps and he fixes, he redeems. And then the thing about the whole Bible shouts this, tomorrow doesn't have to be like yesterday. If you are frustrated in your marriage, some of you have a real reason to feel that way. Okay, there are real reasons to be sad, mad, despondent. But the message from the gospel is, my Redeemer lives. He lives. He changes. He molds. And if two individuals, takes two to tango, all right, I'm not an expert on tangoing, all right. But if two individuals who are submitted to God say, God, work in my life. God, teach me. Oh, my, my, my. Everything can change. Everything can be redeemed. Amen. I wish it came in a bottle. You can go somewhere in Lusaka today and buy a bottle that says marriage blessing. You have no idea how much I wish that were true. Oh, I wish that were true. I would have made my coffee with it this morning. Okay? I'd brush my teeth with it. All right? Be awesome. Okay. So Paul says, forgetting, all right, and reaching for. Forgetting and reaching for. Again, the devil has a bad way of causing us, when we try to go to the past, he also will tempt us in the area of where we found pleasure in sin. The Bible says that there is a temporary, it's short-lived, but in sin there's a temporary place of pleasure. Okay, if sin wasn't fun, nobody would be doing it. Okay, right? Everyone would be eating kale and spinach and working out. Okay. So that's I guess that's good for you, but we typically don't do what's good for us. Okay. Pastor friend of mine said that he did this purposefully, is that in his past he was a musician. And so he would play in clubs, and before he knew the Lord, and he's a very good guitarist. And so people loved him, and he could find ladies and free drinks. And there would be times when he was a pastor, and he's just doing pastor stuff, and he's just thinking, "Ah, this is so hard, I'm so frustrated." And he would start thinking about club life. And he'd be thinking, and a smile would appear on his face. "Ah, yeah, oh man, everybody loved me. Man, it was hot, and it was awesome." And he realized, whoa, these emotions are pulling me back. These emotions are trying to get me back there. So he said, "I purposed that once I started thinking about it," I didn't try to just stop the thinking. He said, whoa, no. "If you want to go back there, let's look at the whole DVD. Let's look at the whole movie." And he said there were multiple times where he would pass out from alcohol or drugs. He said, "I remember one time where he was just hugging a totally filthy, dirty toilet in a public, you know, in a bar. And he was on the floor throwing up." And he said, "No, I'm going to go back to that moment because that is the real past right there." And then the emotions weren't so happy. And he realized, okay, I'm going to reach forward. I'm going to go forward with what God has for my life. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Reaching for. New Living Translation says, "I focus on this one thing." I focus. Verse 14, "I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us." Probably many of us in this room have had something in life where there was an end, all right? There was a degree, there was a graduation, there was a wedding date, right? There was this moment in time. If you ever did track athletics, you could endure because you know this isn't going to end. There's going to be a time where it finishes, all right? And so Paul is saying, one of the reasons why I'm reaching is because there is a finish line. There is an end destination. This predestined place for me of Christ-like maturity, all right? And that is where we're headed. The maturity that God has for you in Jesus. God's plan for your life is for you to be a different person than you are today. Now, not completely different. Have you ever looked at Paul's life? I mean, he was radical before he knew Jesus. He was a zealot. He knew Jesus and what he'd become. He became a Jesus zealot. All right? And so God is not going to change everything, but he's going to redeem everything. All right? Many, many times we want our situation to change, but we don't want to change. All right? And so we've kind of developed what I call a zap theology. God, zap my job. God, here's my money. Just zap it, God. Part of, not always, but part of our financial situation is because of who we are. God can zap your finances, and if you're greedy, you will be greedy with your zapped finances. Has anyone discovered that? All right. God, change my wife. Well, if he could or did, you'd still be you. And God wants you to be a different you, all right? The person in Jesus. That's the focus. Amen? There's a race, and I'm headed that way, all right? Paul said that these things in his past, we saw last week, he called them worthless garbage. How many of you don't go back for worthless garbage? All right, if you checked out of the hotel and you realize, "Oh no, I forgot my worthless garbage." Now you just leave it, don't you? And you just carry on to where you're going. All right. So there is more ahead for you in your future with Jesus and being like Jesus. There's more ahead than is in your past. All right. The glory days are not just yesterday. There are more glorious days with Jesus. All right, so Paul is writing this. He's writing it to a whole church. He says, I want us to have a common goal. All right. So you go to a church, and if you remember here, you know, sharing Christ, maturing believers, changing the world. So maturing believers, that's that middle part we're talking about, Paul's talking about. Yay, I go to that church. Well, see, it's one thing for it to be on the bulletin. It's another thing for it to be in your heart and for it to be in your action plans. All right. So let's read verse 15. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. All right. So let's do this together. It's not you running a race in the wilderness all by yourself. No, we do maturity and we follow Jesus together on a team, a family, a church. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. All right, so it's possible to go back. All right, children of Israel wanted to go back. They would complain for a while, but then finally they just said, you know what, we're going to fire Moses. We're going to get somebody else that doesn't want to go to the promised land, and we are going back to Egypt. We want to be slaves. And they saw more miracles than you will ever see in your lifetime. And they wanted to go back. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. Pick your role models carefully. Pick your role models carefully. And we live in a day and age where it's dangerous because we can see the shiny outside of people's lives, right? And we can see them on the red carpet, and we can see this in their cars, right? But we don't know really who they are. We don't know that they have a terrible marriage. Oh, I want to be like them. Actually, you really don't. So pick your role models carefully. And Paul's saying, you're welcome to pick me. All right? Actually, a pattern. And we all, every single person in this room, you need people in your life that you are aspiring to in your walk with Jesus that are ahead of you. I'm not talking about somebody ahead of you in your profession. Those are fine. That might be a professional mentor. That's fine. All right? Or academics. I'm talking about someone who is like Jesus more than you. And you can say, God, I can see that person, all right? Because we worship a God we don't see, but I can see what maturity looks like in a human being. Amen? And so I believe you go to a church where there are leaders here that you can aspire to be like. Amen? I didn't say that they are Jesus, all right? But you need those people in your life. Pattern your life after mine. There are others that are running the race and they're farther ahead than you are. Verse 18. Now, so there's people you can look to aspire, and their lifestyle can teach you and help you to see something good. And then there are the others. Okay? Verse 18 and 19. For many, notice this is not a few, it's many. For many of whom I have told often, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears. So Paul is, this is not something small to him. I really want you to get this. And they walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Enemies. Paul was not a diplomat. He said things very clearly and very boldly. Okay? And he said, so these people are enemies of the cross. All right. And there are more of these people. They're becoming more aware. And what I'd say is, as we look at their four qualities, as the Zambian economy grows and has grown, more people like this are developing. You're going to see it. How many of you know when the rain comes out, when the rain comes, there are things in your dirt you didn't know were there until the rain comes. But it's been there the whole time. All right. And so Pastor Moses Ono, South Africa, says money doesn't change anyone. It makes them more of who they already were. Like I've said very often, a lot of people couldn't be alcoholics because they couldn't afford it. Okay. They now have side chicks because they can afford them. But the side chicks were in their heart before the rain came. Okay? So, their end is destruction. So he kind of takes the mystery out of it. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. So their end is destruction. So it's not going to end well. There is an end. There is a finish line for these types of people. And it's horrible and it's destructive. Their God is their belly. New Living Translation says, their God is their appetite. Message Bible says, all they can think about is their appetites. All right, now how many know there is more to an appetite than T-bone and chips? All right, it's what makes our flesh happy. Okay, and again, in a capital city where there is a growing economy, there are more options for what you can put in your belly. We spent a couple days in South Africa this last week and saw some people, did a few things. And we lived there for 10 years, 25 years ago, 15 years ago. And wow, it's very different and it's not all good. And one of the things I note every time I go there is the appetites of people. The appetites. Right? There are Ferraris and Mercedes that I didn't know existed on planet Earth. They're everywhere in Johannesburg. Okay? There are styles of clothing that I didn't know existed. I wish I didn't know, but they do. All right. Appetite. See, these types of people, folks, are all around us. They're all around us. And you know what I've discovered is that God doesn't zap your appetite. You have to manage your appetite. Mm-hmm. So that's at Miracle Life. Every Sunday we say, hey, please give us some of your money. We'll spend it on the kingdom. We're going to get to do some awesome things, but it's actually for your good because you need to keep dealing with your appetite. Some people say, oh, I'll give when I make lots of money. And then they make lots of money and they don't give. Why? Because of their appetite. There's more stuff to eat. Oh, and it's shinier. Oh, it's shinier. Man, when I was in Joburg, I saw some Mercedes. I didn't take a double look. I took a triple look and a stare. Just, I love you with the love of the Lord. I mean, right? So, their appetite is their belly. Their glory is their shame. They actually brag about things that are shameful. Oh, my. And then, so their end is destruction. He kind of works backwards here. But what's the real problem? Their mind is set on earthly things. Earthly things. Everything on this earth is going to be destroyed. That beautiful silver Mercedes, God is going to burn up one day. It's going to melt. The Bible says it's going to melt with fervent heat. Some of you are crying right now. I mean, yeah. A trophy that tarnishes, that no one remembers. Now, what do we know about earthly things? Earthly things. All right. So, because the last time I checked, we live on an earth and we need to eat and live under a roof. All right. So, does your father care? Jesus said he does, doesn't he? He cares and he knows that you need these things. They're things. He knows that you need them. Right, so God is not divorced from our earthly existence. Jesus came to the earth. He lived and walked among us. So God, he cares. He is a provider. Paul said to Timothy, he said, hey, those people that have extra money, let them do good. Let them lay hold of eternal things. And then he describes the nature of God who gives richly for us to enjoy. All right, so is it okay if you enjoy your chicken? Yes. Marinate it and grill it and make it nice. Because how many of you can eat it and it's not enjoyable? All right? So he gives us, but that's not where our mind should be set. It should be set on things above, Colossians 3 says. All right? So God's not against earthly things. He created the earth. All right? But when we set our heart and our mind, our affections, our appetites, then we've created an idol in the place of God. It becomes a wrong pursuit. All right. Now, Paul said there's another way to think about this and this pursuit is verse 20. He says, for our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. So our allegiance. How many of you know your citizenship is where you have your loyalty, right? So when it comes to, you know, Africa Cup of Nations, obviously, World Cup, everybody kind of picks a team, right, for whatever reason. But when it comes to Africa Cup of Nations, you don't pick a team. That would be terrible. All right? No, you, there's an allegiance to your citizenship. Okay. Where's our citizenship? It's in heaven. So that's where my allegiance is. All right? And that's also where I form my identity. These are my people. These are the people that I associate with and that I'm connected with. All right? Where? This place called heaven. And it says, and we await a Savior who will do something. Verse 21, this is so awesome. Who will transform our lowly body. I'm really sorry, everybody, that God called your body lowly. Some of you are wondering if you should come back to church next week. All right. All right. But if you read the Bible, our bodies are doomed, aren't they? Okay. Our spirits are born again. Our mind, our soul is being renewed. Our body has death in it. It will die. We'll go to the dust. But then we get a new one. And this is what it's talking about, that Jesus will redeem our body, transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working which he is able even to subdue all things. This is not today. He hasn't done it yet, but he will subdue all things. Isaiah 9, we talk about this at Christmas, but what a wonderful hope to look forward to. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. I don't know if you checked, but that's not today. Huh? Jesus is Lord over Zambia is an aspirational statement. He is not yet Lord over Zambia. Because if he were, yes, exactly. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. Oh, there is a day where we get a new body and we get a new king on the earth, King Jesus. And so, yeah, so we're in this moment of in between, but in this moment, we're looking for this hope. The Bible says anyone who has this hope purifies himself. I'm working on some stuff. God is helping me. All right. But I've got a destination, and God has a destination for me. Amen. So, to be more and more like Jesus. So, I want to leave you with this thought that if your quest, I'm not going to keep living my life in the past, but I'm reaching forward for the things that are ahead, all right? I want to challenge you to change what you've heard today from, oh, that was very interesting, very inspirational. Now I'm going to go eat lunch. Okay. If this is something that we do, ask yourself, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? So and at this church, I believe it's not a perfect church, but there are really a lot of incredible places, opportunities at this church. If you want to do to reach for maturity, wow. This is a church that can help you do it. We're not just a flashy concert on a Sunday. Rah, rah, rah. Okay. Man, you can get involved in a connection group. And really, you must. You should. And you can dissect the Bible and think about the Bible. How do I live this out with other believers? Pray for one another. When you're hurting, they pray for you. And when they're hurting, you pray for them. You give and receive love. We've got incredible courses here, School for Life. We've got Changes at Heal for men stepping up. Take off the earring, put on the tie. Do cool things like that. Okay. Maybe some of you say, man, I've got some time. I can invest, but I want to go to Rhema. I want to just study the Bible for 2 years. And boy, that'll help you grow. All right. So am I doing this? Am I doing what Paul said I should be doing? Or am I just kind of waiting for it to happen to me? All right. And there's no one on planet Earth, and not even God Almighty, that can change you without your involvement. But I really do want to encourage us as we leave and as we think about what am I doing. Every part of my life that God has taken me through times of maturing, and sometimes it seems like it's more intense than others. Like Hebrews 12 says, when the correction of God, the child training of God, it's not pleasant at the time, but it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness. And let me just tell you, being a maturing Christian is the greatest life in the earth. It's the greatest life in the earth. Many of you know that. Many of you are experiencing that. Is it challenging? Yes, it's challenging. Because I hate being wrong. Me. I hate being wrong. My wife will tell you, I like fight to stay wrong. Okay. And so sometimes I'm reading the Bible, or I'm worshiping God, I'm hanging out with Him, I'm with other believers, and I just go, whoa, 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 Walker, you're selfish. Walker, you're wrong. And yeah, for me, those are fighting words. Come on. Let God win. Let Him mature us. Let's work with Him. Let's not keep living in the past, but let's reach for what God has for us. Maturity in Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Lord, we love You. Thank You that, Lord, what we're talking about today from Your Word, oh God, this is not something that we do for ourselves. This is not a pick-me-up talk. Let's be more motivated to change. No, God, You saved us. You brought us into Your family. You have a destination. And then You have a method to help us reach that destination. Your Word and Your Spirit, the community of believers, grace and truth, all of these things, God, and You working on us and in us. And so, God, Lord, may all of us in this place be like Paul. Let's be of one mind. And Father, we say, change us, mold us, shape us. Make us more like Jesus. More of his image to be seen and experienced in our life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I ask you right now as we just pause, Lord, I ask you to deal with all of us. What are we, Father, perhaps what are we neglecting to do with you? Because Paul says, I do. Father, Lord, this is so awesome that we're here today in church together. That's doing, that's something, God. Lord, I ask you to make it really, really clear to us some areas of doing, Father, that will help us reach forward. Father, I pray that every single one of us, Father, we will reach our highest redemptive potential in you as individuals, as families. Lord, all the different roles that we have in our families, in our careers, Lord, that we wouldn't just grow in experience and grow in knowledge, but that we would be more like Jesus on the job, more like Jesus in the classroom, more like Jesus in the boardroom, God. More about Jesus. We look to him and we thank you, God, that he's working in us. Thank you, Lord. With Christians praying right now, every head bowed, eyes are closed. I think we've all seen today from God's word, he has a plan. He has a plan. And part of his plan was before we came to the earth, before he didn't ask our permission, he did it. He predetermined to do this. He sent Jesus Christ as the Savior for the world. And when he went to the cross, all of the rotten things we've ever done or thought, all of that was put on Jesus. John the Baptist said, behold, he takes away the sin of the world. That means you. That means me. He paid it in full. What that means is that through Jesus, through that wonderful sacrifice, now we can come to the Father. We can experience the fullness of having a relationship with God because of what Jesus did for us. The Bible teaches that when we hear this truth, then we must believe it. We must confess it with our mouth, and then we're saved. So this means there's nothing I can do for you or the person next to you. If your parents had you baptized as a baby, that didn't do it. You need to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. He's the Savior. And the Bible promises this. You will be saved. You'll be a brand new person. You'll be in the family of God. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I have never done that. Maybe I tried religion or I tried a creed or I thought maybe just going to church would be cool. I need to be saved. I need to know Jesus. I need to make a confession of my faith in him. Let's do that today. Maybe you're a Christian and you're backslidden. Your life is just a mess and you realize like the prodigal son, I need to come home. I need to come home to a God who will forgive and restore. If that's you, let's pray. So that we can pray together, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. And as you lift up your hand, then we're going to pray together. God's going to come into your life. He'll do exactly what he said he'll do. You'll be a new person. So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to lift up your hand. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Just lift up your hand all over this auditorium. All over this auditorium. Thank you there in the back. All the way in the back. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much. Anyone else saying yes to Jesus? Right here. Thank you over here. Another way to kind of check your heart is, if you died tonight, I hope it's not tonight, it will be one day, do you know you'd go to heaven? There's a lot of us in this room say, yeah, I know I'd go to heaven because Jesus is my Lord. Boy, if you don't know, receive Jesus today. Before we pray, anybody else, just lift up your hand real, real high. Thank you. God bless you, ma'am. All right. Can we all stand in the auditorium as we get ready to go today? But if you lifted up your hand, or now you're thinking, I should have, grab your Bible, your belongings, whatever you came to church with, and come and meet me up front. just come and meet me up front. We're going to pray together. God is going to make you a brand new person. He's going to wash you. He's going to give you a new destiny for your life. Can we give these folks a big hand clap as they're coming? He is so good, so good, so good. Thank you for coming. God bless you so much. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you, sir. Thanks for coming. God bless you, man. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. God bless you. He's so wonderful. Thanks for coming, man. All right. Now, if this was a gift, so I paid for it, but I wanted you to have it, how would you get it? Right? You just reach out. And so what we see from the Bible is His grace is free. He paid the price, so it's free to us. But we do receive that by faith. And so let's just lift up one of our hands. In a sense, we're saying, God, I'm looking to you. I'm receiving from you today. Say this prayer from your heart. Say, God, just say it out loud. Say, God, I believe you sent Jesus to be punished in my place. He received my sin. He died. He was raised from the dead. I believe that. I put my faith in him. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. I turn my back on sin and the world. And I follow Jesus now for the rest of my life. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in your family. I belong to you. In your name I pray. Amen.